Hey there, welcome to February's special interview episode. Today on Her Spoken Image, we get to talk to the amazing Arlen Hamilton. Now, if you have listened to all of the episodes of this podcast, you have heard her name before. Arlen is the founder of Backstage Capital, which is a venture fund that invests in companies with underrepresented founders. Arlen's first book, It's About Damn Time, is amazing, and I definitely recommend you should read it. And in January, she just released Your First Million, which accompanies her live event that she is holding in Los Angeles in April 2024. I highly encourage you to read Your First Million. I listened to the audiobook of it and got through it in a day. So it's really, really amazing. And Arlen also talks about in the interview the YouTube channel that she has that accompanies the whole Your First Million brand. She is as authentic as they come and truly wants to use what she has learned to help others succeed as well. Without further ado, here is my interview with Arlen Hamilton. Welcome to Her Spoken Image. I'm April Lokar, founder of Semi-Conventional and Thought Leadership Consultant. Are you ready to make a greater impact using your unique perspective? I know what it's like to realize you're in the middle of your career and want to create a new path. I've pivoted from school teacher to corporate trainer to entrepreneur with lots of lessons learned along the way. If you want to use your authentic voice to speak up with confidence, you're going to love it here. Each episode, you'll get actionable tips to master public speaking like a pro, while honing your spoken image so your message comes through loud and clear. And we'll do all this through a semi-conventional lens that blends a little tradition with a lot of feminist perspective. Sound good? Then let's get into it. All right. I have Arlen Hamilton here with me and super excited to talk to you today. So thanks for joining, Arlen.
Thanks for having me.
We have so many things that we can talk about, but today I think we'll focus in on Your First Million, which is a whole brand in and of itself, including a book that you just released. It's amazing. I listened to it all in one day. I like audiobooks. So fabulous. I definitely recommend it. And so if you wouldn't mind, maybe just give the listeners a quick overview of, you know, what brought you to Your First Million, which again is the book and your live event that's happening in April 2024. So I'll let you speak all about Your First Million.
Yeah. Well, in the last less than a decade, maybe nine years, I have gone from being homeless to generating millions in revenue and in income and raising eight figures to invest in other entrepreneurs. And so there's a lot of learnings in that. So there are a lot of learnings in that. And so I wrote my first book, It's About Damn Time, which I see behind you, which is, I appreciate it. I wrote that first book in 2020, came out in 2020, which was really good timing for it. I think it helped a lot of people. To this day, I get everyday messages about that book. And so when I had the chance to write the next book, because the first book did pretty well, I had a book deal that came through really quickly. And then I was given like carte blanche to write about whatever I wanted. And I thought, you know, one of the main things people ask me is like, how do I get started? How do I get to the point where I have a lot of freedom and I can just make decisions? And all the other decisions are like wealthy people decisions, you know, all the other things. And so I wanted to create this guide. It's an entrepreneur's guide, is what it's called. So it actually is called Your First Million, Why You Don't Have to Be Born into a Legacy of Wealth to Leave One Behind. And it takes you through step by step how I made my first million, how you all could make your first million. And then really importantly, the mindset shift that needs to happen for it all to happen. And then the why, like, why are we talking about money? Why is it all like this capitalistic thing, or is it all like materialistic? What's the point of it? And I really introduce the movement that I'm trying to create. And what I want to do essentially is help create and cultivate 1,000 new millionaires who represent the demographics of the country better. to kind of counter the billionaire narrative. And it's all explained in the book and why. And then because of that, you know, you, like you said, you listen to it in one day. You're not going to walk tomorrow, make your first million. You know, it gets you on the path. And so I wanted to have these other things that helped really get people there, because I'm going to track this idea of 1,000 millionaires so that it's not just an idea, but it's not just like buzzwords. And right. So the couple of ways that I do that is through, now I have this, I have Your First Million, the YouTube channel. So I have the podcast, the YouTube channel, really excited about these new videos. So if you go to Arlen's Your First Million on YouTube, that's the channel name. I think these videos are probably going to do more than anything else I've done in the last 10 years. If I'm going to be so bold to say, yeah. I think they're going to impact people in a way that is so, so specific and important and big for their lives, because I'm really just taking you with me a lot, like all the things behind closed doors, that the conversations that I have that people yeah. don't get to see that help me do what I'm doing. Make it, like, for instance, we recently released one where I'm just sitting and talking while I'm getting my makeup done. And I'm talking to the founders of UGG Boots and the founder of Casper.
Yeah.
Mattresses. Casper Mattresses did 1 million in their first month and 100 million in their first year.
Yeah.
And I'm having these conversations like I have with people all the time, but I'm right. bringing you behind the scenes to it and then giving my takeaways. So I'm really excited about that. And then, of course, yes, the live event that we can get into, but very excited about the entire thing.
Yeah. I love everything about the movement that you're creating and the fact that it's not just a book. It's not just an event. Like you said, it is a movement, and that yeah. is really what you're focused on. I think so much of, you know, what the audience for this show and, you know, all of the people that you really resonate with, we all sort of have that deeper meaning behind the things that we want to be doing, yeah. right? It's not, oh, I just started my business so I can make some extra cash, or, mm-hmm. oh, I just did this. You know, it's never, I just, right? There's always something behind it.
Yeah.
And one of the things I know for you, in kind of your background was, a fear of public speaking. And so, yes. I would love, especially on Her Spoken Image, I would love you to give us a little insight into how you have grown into using your voice to further your ideas and your brand and all of that.
Yeah, I had really bad stage fright until 36. I woke up one day, early 2017, and I said, you know, I've been given all these opportunities to speak at different places. And I was just starting my, I was like 2 years into, or less than that, to starting Backstage Capital, which was this such a unique, you know, entity that I'd started. But I could talk online, I could talk one-on-one, I could talk in very small groups, but I couldn't talk. One time I was at South by Southwest with 30 people from my portfolio. And I was so nervous talking to them in a group to tell them that we had t-shirts available for them.
Right.
And now I speak to groups up to 20,000 people. And I'm just realizing that right now, I'm having that memory. And so, I just think that, you know, so many people had said, you have to do public speaking, you have to get over it. That's not what you say to somebody who has stage fright.
Right.
50% or so of the world has stage fright. So if anybody yeah. has stage fright, you know that somebody just yelling at you and telling you to get over it is not the way.
Yeah.
But there were different, I woke up one day in 2017 and I realized that I had missed out on the opportunity to speak on the same stage at the same time, almost, as one of my business heroes, Richard Branson. I had missed out on the opportunity to receive an award from Start Out, an LGBTQ+ business incubator, because I wouldn't speak and give my acceptance speech. And I watched someone else win the same award that yeah. I was offered. And so I said, you know, what if I say yes to, and I had recently read, forgot the name of it, but Shonda Rhimes' book, A Year of Yes, I think. I had recently read that. So I said, what if I said yes to 3 speaking gigs in 2017, and no matter what, I did them. And then if it didn't go well, I could say, I really tried. Leave me alone. I tried. It doesn't work. And if it does work, maybe it could be something. So I did that, was terrified each time, but did it. And then something clicked. And I'll tell you what it was, actually. And this can apply to anybody listening who has stage fright or is afraid to speak up in other ways. When I did the very first one with my friend Ania, by Black and Brown Founders in San Francisco, with maybe 50 people in the room, small room, mics we had, I was so scared. Like, I had an out-of-body experience of like, how did I get here? And I was terrified, and we were getting right into it, and it was being streamed, and I was just like a deer in headlights. And then I sat down, and I looked into the audience, and all I saw were smiling faces and people leaning in to hear what I had to say.
Right.
And I specifically saw Black women looking at me with notebooks.
Yeah.
Like, I need you, sis. I need your help. I need to hear what you have to say, even if it's through shaky words. And so something happened. I still got scared every time before I went on stage, but when I was speaking, I was like, find one person who you want to get something out of this and do it for them.
Yeah.
And then over time, that developed to paid speaking. I've now become one of the highest paid speakers in tech and investing, regardless of race or gender. I'm also using it to get my message out to a lot of people across the world. And I think it's something I talk about it in It's About Damn Time. Mm-hmm. I talk about it a little bit in Your First Million. And then I have several podcast episodes about it because I think it's so important for people to find their voice if they're struggling with that.
Yeah. I love how you talk about it in It's About Damn Time and, mm-hmm. you know, being able to put yourself out there. And that book is not sitting back there for this interview. That stays there all the time. So that's not just for show. But when it comes to, you know, you getting your message out there, and like you said, I think that piece of advice of find one person in the audience that you want to get something out of it, that is, you know, a nugget of gold right there out there for somebody right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so thinking about the things that you wanted to talk about on stage and, you know, once you got past the public speaking, you know, jitters, which, I mean, we all still get some jitters sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, going out on a stage. Once you got past all of that, what advice might you have for someone who they know they have something that they want to talk about, but maybe they're not sure, like, where to start or how to frame their message so that one person will get something out of it? What might you say to somebody like
that? I think, you know, I'm not the first to say this, but it has helped me across its years and across media, which is create the message that you needed to hear 5 years ago. Mm.
Yeah.
Or 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody has something to offer in their unique lived experience.
Yeah.
And I meet so many people, especially women, who just discount themselves right out the gate before anybody else can. They're just like, I'm just just a teacher. I just work at a company. I just work for someone else.
Yeah.
I met someone recently who has raised $1 billion for venture funds the past decade.
Wow.
$1 billion with a B.
Yeah.
And she was saying to me, I've just raised $1 billion. A lot of my peers have raised more.
Wow.
I couldn't. I still can't. I couldn't believe I was hearing that. And she was being sincere. She's like, compared to my peers, I'm small potatoes. And I'm like, you girl. So forget about the small group of people who, yes, may have done more than you have, but what about the millions who haven't?
Right.
Or the 30 who haven't that you can help. Imagine if you could help change the lives of 30 people over the next decade. What an incredible legacy that is. What an incredible life that would be. And you can.
Yeah. You just got to put your message out there, right?
you really do. You have to share your voice with the world.
Yeah. Absolutely. I love when you said, you know, I'm just this, or I just raised $1 billion. It made me think, super short anecdote, but it made me think of when my kids would come to me, and they're 13 and 10 right now, but they, when they were even younger, they would come to me and be like, but I just wanted to do this. You know, that's all, that was all their like excuse for something.
Yeah.
We made that rule in my house years ago where we said, you're not allowed to start a sentence with I just, or I'm just, because nothing good comes after that.
That's right.
Kids, it's an excuse, but for us as adults, like to your point, you're discounting something already by saying, I just did this.
Yeah. You know? It's like, no. It must have been big because we're having this conversation, right?
Right. Exactly.
The entire Lego set.
Right.
Right in front of the living room. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So when it comes to your first million, we'll circle kind of back around to that. Mm-hmm. What was the primary, I don't know, reason behind wanting to make it all of these experiences? I know you kind of mentioned like you didn't want it to just be the book, right? Like I said, mm-hmm. I read the book super quick. It's definitely mm-hmm. going to be on my repeat list of books I reread, which I know you're a big proponent of. I took that advice from you. And so beyond the book, the YouTube channel, I know that's going to be huge. All of those videos are amazing. And, you know, the live event that's coming up as well, you know, Take us down that path of all the things that you're creating, looking forward to, and such.
Well, you asked why. The reason I have different ways to consume the information is two parts. One part is I think you need more than just one thing.
Yeah.
It could be a full package to truly help. But the other is a lot of people will buy the book, but won't read it at all, or will read only parts of it, or will skip around.
Yeah.
If you were to really read the book and execute on what I say in the book, you would probably make your first million within a couple of years. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will watch the videos, put me on 2x speed, and catch half of it.
Yeah.
A lot of people will go to the event, spend half the time in their hotel room, or not paying attention, or whatever, or not taking advantage of all the pieces to it.
Yeah.
And if you did those things all the way through, a lot of people are in my Spark program, which I'm actually thinking about renaming to Your First Million. And they'll watch one or two of the videos. But if they watched every video and executed on it, they would be a millionaire. Mm-hmm. That second reason that I have all these different ways to consume is that goes for me too. I don't do everything I'm supposed to when it comes to one person's advice. I don't read the whole book and then watch everything they do and then go to all of their events and then do all that. But if you have these multiple ways to interact, the sum of the pieces will start to start to come together for you. And so if you think about like, oh, if I actually just went a step further and just did 2x the amount I was going to do with this, I'll have like 10 times the chance of winning here, because most people won't. Like most people just, the reason most people are not millionaires already is simply because they won't follow through on the things that would create millionaire status for them.
Yeah.
It's not hard. It's not like an impossible feat.
Right.
I've done it from homelessness. It's not, it's not impossible. It's just, you have to do the pieces. It's the reason that all happened for me in my 40s rather than my 30s or my 20s, because I didn't focus and stay true to something long enough, deeply enough for it to come to fruition.
Yeah, I love that. And it reminds me, you've said before, right, that, you know, find the thing that you want to talk about for like a decade.
Yeah.
And I remember that because it's so true. There's so many things that kind of come in, especially if you have that entrepreneurial brain, right? Where, oh, I have the next big idea. And there's always the next big thing that you're thinking of. But I remember your advice of, okay, what can you talk about like on repeat for 10 years? Because that consistency, like you said, it's not hard. It's just, it's the focus and consistency behind it. I think
what people see is they see the people who are really successful financially and they're like, well, they have five different companies. Like Richard Branson has hundreds of companies.
Right.
Mark Cuban has hundreds of companies he's either invested in or is part of or as an advisor of. But you have to go back to what made them successful was incredible, like insane focus.
Yeah.
On one thing, they got really successful and then they had the freedom to make all these different decisions. So I have, for instance, I have two new companies coming out this year that I have founded.
Yeah.
But I spent the last decade working on Backstage Capital. And then I launched a new company in 2021 after 7 or so years.
Yeah.
You couldn't have done those things without like the focus of, I need to make this first thing work and viable. Couldn't have done that year two, four different companies. None of them would have worked out.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's some of the best advice out there. All of your advice is some of the best advice out there. It's very relatable. So before we finish up, I know we just have a quick minute here, but when it comes to being relatable, I do like to ask people, what do you like to do in your downtime or for fun? What's the fun stuff for you other than obviously creating the next 1,000 millionaires?
I love General Hospital. I love watching General Hospital and watching a lot of TV just in general. I'm just a big fan of, I love Monk. Monk had a new movie that came out this year or last year. I love that kind of stuff. So it's super just, that I love going to concerts. Big Pink fan, big Janet fan, big fan of just wonderful, beautiful live music. Saw Billie Eilish in England a year and a half ago, just was so good.
Nice.
So I love that. And then my wife makes fun of me because yesterday I had a day off for the first time in a long time because I'm on a 3-month tour for my book, and I had a day off at home. And I spent half of it watching Queen Latifah in the Equalizer TV show. And the other half I was watching YouTube courses that I bought about YouTube, about being a successful YouTuber. And I was just like sitting on the couch and she would walk in every once in a while and it would just be like, and then you got to get your thumbnail well, you know, right. And then, he's like, what are you doing? You're supposed to be off. And I'm like, this is me off. I love this stuff. I love learning. I love learning because I know that I'm going to execute on it.
Yeah.
I know that I'm going to execute. I don't sit around and learn for no reason.
Yeah.
And so to me, it's like anytime I can like level up in that way, that's exciting to me. But yeah, I like that. I tried to teach myself how to crochet. Didn't work out. I love puzzles, but I never finish them. So
yeah,
it was like concerts, TV shows. I'm always. I went to a General Hospital fan event in at Graceland for my birthday 2 years, like a year and a half ago.
That's amazing.
It's real. It's real. It's deep.
Yeah, yeah. I love all of it. It's very, again, very relatable, which I think is one of the key words that I associate with you and your brand and everything that you do, because you make things very accessible to everybody. Mm. And like, we can take those tidbits and, you know, going back and re-listening to this interview, I'm going to write down like 9,000 things every time I listen to it, because there's always something else that, you know, even if you say the same thing, well, tomorrow it might hit me different, you know? And so, so there's always, you know, always different things that come about with it. I know we're right at time. So thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. And, can't wait to see you at your first million.
Yeah. That's going to be amazing in April. So I can't wait to see you and your peeps.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Before you go, thanks for listening. Hit that subscribe button, then leave a review so other aspiring thought leaders can find the show and hone their spoken image too. That's it for today. And remember, I'm rooting for you.